Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So today, Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee sent a letter to Billy Barr, the Attorney General, confirming that he will testify on March 31st over this Stone thing. And look, you know, this is just another one of those examples of our institutions run amok in the era of Trump. The fact that the Attorney General would jump in the middle of a case and say, no, that's too harsh. You got to wonder. And all of the other things that this Attorney General has done, I'm looking forward to this hearing, because at some point you've got to regain some bit of oversight, some bit of sanity. And a bunch of people who told me, Donald Trump learned his lesson. Yeah, the lesson he learned is he can commit all the crimes he wants because the levers of government are on his side. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the big breaking news of the day, I've asked Jared Yates Sexton to come talk with us. Jared's an author, political analyst, host of the Muckrake podcast. He's also got a book coming out. You can pre-order it over there at the dreaded Amazon. It's titled American Rule, How a Nation Conquered the World but Failed Its People. Jared, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rick. Hope you're doing well on that end.
We're doing really well, but I'm looking at this Stone thing, and this has really got me, in kind of a funk, because this is the stuff of authoritarian governments. This is the stuff that dictators do. You do for your friends, and you severely punish people you see as enemies. The thing with Stone and the backdrop of Vindman, we're just in a weird spot.
Yeah, it's just the stuff of Banana Republic bootlicking stooge territory, and it's just so hard to watch. Watching Bill Barr just completely pervert the rule of law to not only kowtow to Donald Trump and do his bidding, but to just completely move him away from the rule of law while using it as a weapon against his enemies and anybody that he has a problem with today. It's really troubling stuff. And I mean, if anybody has any doubts that we're in problematic territory, I think that's out the window at this point.
No, I mean, I look at this and, this isn't the first time that, the Trump administration's reinterpreted law and used the arm of the Justice Department to do its bidding. They're packing the courts with ideologues. They're doing everything that you would right there on the authoritarian playbook. And yet you still have a large segment of people in this country who seem to be A-okay with it.
I was doing some research on an article I did today, actually on this very topic, and I think a lot of people forget that it was 7 days exactly from the time that Trump took the oath of office that he brought in James Comey and demanded complete loyalty.
Yep.
I mean, this has been the case since he got into office and since he even considered running for office. He told everyone what he was going to do. He wanted to use the DOJ as his own private police force and to use it to go after his enemies. I mean, this is how this has been working from the very beginning. And the fact that a lot of people haven't gotten hip to this and haven't really understood it, I think is the responsibility of a media that's afraid to, call this thing what it is. And a lot of status quoers and gatekeepers who are really afraid to call authoritarianism authoritarianism. But that's where we are. That's what's happening here. We have a president who wants to go after his enemies, and he doesn't care whether or not he breaks the law or absolutely dissolves the law in the meanwhile. And we have to start calling it what it is, because the only way we're going to get out of authoritarianism is to admit that we're in it in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I remember stories of Nazi Germany and people going, we don't know how it happened. And the idea that, it can't happen here. And you go, no, it can happen. And it has. I mean, I look at Trump as that character. The thing that scares me is the guy, I truly believe, wants to be a war president and wants us to get us into some conflict.
Yeah, I was doing research on the book, and what I kept finding was that fascism comes from this place of inherent weakness. It's a movement among insecure, weak people who are looking to, puff up their chest and pretend that they're strong and tough, and as a result, they just trample over rights and norms and institutions. I mean, that fits this guy to a T. That's who Donald Trump is. And we have done a real disservice to ourselves in this country by believing that it can't happen here, or that somehow or another we're immune to it. But we're watching it happen in real time. And what you find in these fascist environments is it happens very, very slowly, and people are in denial the entire time because they believe that there's no way that their society is capable of succumbing to this thing. But that's what we're watching, and we have to be honest about that. We have to be open and honest, and unfortunately, we have to be humble in this situation and realize that this is the direction we're going in. We have a man in charge who is weak, and these are his tendencies, and these are his instincts.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I've been talking about this for a while because, you know, you're right. It's a slow process. The Republican Party has slowly been moving to the extreme, you know, for decades now. It's, you know, this is who the party has been for a very long time. It's just now they're out of the closet. They're now fully out and in public with it. And I truly know conservatives who go, no, it's not as bad as you're making it out to be. It's just hyperbole. You know, he's not that bad. No, it's this bad.
Yeah, you know, I was covering the Donald Trump campaign back in 2016, and I was going into these crowds, and I was talking to his supporters. And here's the thing, Rick, they would tell you straight out that they were for this stuff. You know, he would go out there and he would say these things, and he would get right up to the line where the media couldn't say that he was being outwardly fascist. They took it from him. And all of us were telling everyone way back then that this is a tiger that is getting ready to get out of a cage and we have to watch this. And unfortunately, everyone's like, oh, you're being paranoid. This is hyperbolic. You're overreacting. It was right there all along.
Exactly.
And he's never been dishonest about it. It's been upfront all along.
No, that's one of the things he's been honest about. You're absolutely right. One of the few things that he's been honest about. But I've said for a very long time that, you know, look, he's the first talk radio president. Because all of those people in the crowd, they've been trained like Pavlovian dogs to, when those whistles are blown, to jump the line because they've been hearing it every day, you know, 24 hours a day through their radios and their TV sets. You know, the church of right-wing crazy has been fully ensconced in our society for a very long time.
A lot of people are in denial about that, too. I mean, this is a person who won the presidency because he is cable news personified. I mean, he believes it, he speaks it, he lives it. And these people have been trained for decades now. They've been told to never question authority when it's their authority, and that, you know, we can curtail rights and we can cause these crimes and engage in just mass corruption as long as it's not against us. And that tribalism and that fascism that he's speaking to, they've been trained for this all along, and people have been in denial and they've been saying that it's all about news and it's all a play for profit and all of that. There are real consequences that we're seeing play out here, and we have to wake up.
No, I'm with you. You know, because earlier I started the show off talking about the Tea Party, because I'm wondering where my yellow flag, you know, Gadsden flag, don't tread on me, moron, T-twits are where they're at, where they're hiding. Because everything that they yelled about during the Obama years, every crime that they believed was being committed is actually now being committed.
Yeah, it's all malleable. And that's one of the things I keep hearing people who are like, I can't believe he's saying he's going after Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. And these people don't believe that. They think that theirs will be fine and everyone else's will be taken. And what we have is a malleable tribalism, which basically says, and this is all about the law that's being curtailed here, right, is that, oh, we can break the law and do all this stuff. It's what everybody else does. And that's what he's speaking to, and that's what he has brought out in the electorate. And it's there, and it's real.
Do you see a way back from where we are? I mean, I know there are some people who have told me, Rick, you know, the people who show up to the rallies and the people who wear the MAGA hats and those folks, they're unreachable. Leave them. They're the fives. Forget it. They're beyond help. Is there any help?
There are certainly the MAGA people who aren't coming back. I mean, their identities are completely intertwined and knotted with him. But then there are other people that it really is about economics, and they need someone to speak to them, and they need someone to fight for them. And I've talked to a lot of these people. I mean, they are my people, Rick. These are my family. These are the people I've grown up with. And they tell you that if they have someone out there fighting for them and there's an economic message that is for them, that they can come back. A lot of them are tired of this crap, and a lot of them recognize it's crap, but they don't have a lot of alternatives otherwise. But they can come back.
No, I'm right there with you. I mean, I remember when I predicted Trump was going to win, April of 16. My grandmother had passed away, and I went home to be surrounded by my family, which is the basket of deplorables. And they were all, you know, for the first time in their lives, registering to vote for Trump because he was singing those economic messages and, you know, the tinge of racism and homophobia and all the other stuff. But it really was the economic message.
Sure. And I'll tell you what, and this is something that makes my labor heart sick. Like, a lot of these people are FDR Democrats, and they're looking to come back, and they're looking to find a way back, and they just have to be spoken to, and they just have to be won over. And there are a lot of people, again, who are knotted up with Trump identity-wise. They are fascists through and through, and they've been waiting for this thing. But there is a big chunk of people who can come back, and I think a lot of them are looking for it.
Do you see anybody in the Democratic field who can do that? Because, look, I look at Sanders as someone who is an FDR Democrat. You can call him socialist or social Democrat. The policies that he's pushing are stuff that FDR talked about, you know, back in the 20s and 30s and in the 40s. You know, do you see anybody?
I keep hearing Sanders and Warren. Those are the two that I keep hearing because people want an economic populist movement. And you know, that's the thing. People aren't afraid of socialism. They understand what it is. They're smarter than they've ever been. The Great Recession has made them into students of history and economics. They understand that there is something happening there that they can vote for. And a lot of these people would have voted for Bernie in 2016. I think a lot of them would vote for him or Warren in 2020.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Because, you know, my fear is you got someone like Bloomberg who, look, I know there are a lot of people who like Mike Bloomberg, but I just see him as a lesser of Trump.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you because it's a little late in the night, Rick, but I am just totally disturbed by this movement towards Bloomberg with a bunch of people who are saying, I don't care if an oligarch is going to be our candidate as long as he goes after Trump. I care about it, and I know a lot of other people care about it. We don't want a bunch of billionaires fighting over the presidency when no one deserves it. I think that is just a worst-case scenario that I don't know that we come back from that.
No, I'm with you, but at the end of the day, if it is a Bloomberg-Trump race, you know, it's one of those, I've got no choices. I got to go with Bloomberg. But
yeah, I don't want to hold my nose on that one.
Not happy about it.
It doesn't come to that.
But not happy about it. But in the book, and I want to talk a little bit about the book, which I understand is coming out very soon. You can pre-order it Amazon, right?
Yeah, I would go ahead and order it anywhere else.
Anywhere else? Okay, so there are other places. Powell's?
Yeah, absolutely. Get it at your independent local bookstore. Get it through Dutton, Penguin, anywhere you can get it. If you need to go through Amazon, go through there. That's totally fine.
All right, Dutton or Penguin. We'll get links out on how maybe we can do that. But it's American Rule, How a Nation Conquered the World but Failed Its People. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's just a retelling of American history that basically goes through all of the myths and all of the stories that we've told ourselves about America that have really hidden some really terrible things, you know, everything from white supremacy to mistreatment of working people and you know, that has gotten us to a place where Trump and oligarchs and corporate leaders have just bled this country to the point of just absolute mass hysteria. And I think we have to look back on our history and figure out how we got here before we can figure out how to move forward.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at the attacks that you've seen on workers' rights and women's rights and consumer rights from this administration and you know, a lot of the progress that we thought was possible seemed to be going the other direction. And, you know, earlier we talked with Greg Palast about voting rights. It's extremely disturbing what they're doing on that front.
Yeah, you know, we keep telling these stories like America was somehow or another better in the past. I mean, we're making progress, but these stories that we keep telling ourselves about how we're a chosen nation or whatever, it leads to this extreme nationalistic, fascistic movement like what we have with the Republican Party and Trump. I mean, there's a way that we get to Trump, and quite frankly, I mean, he is a symptom. He's not the disease, and we have to start looking at it like that and being honest with ourselves about where we're coming from and where we're going.
I agree. So you don't buy the American exceptionalist argument?
I think Americans are exceptional. I think the fact that we've been able to do the things we are, the fact that labor unions have been able to fight for their rights, I think the fact that people have been able to fight for their rights in despite all of these blocks being put in front of them, I think Americans are exceptional, and I think America needs to be worthy of those Americans.
I'm right there with you. And I hope people will take a look at the book American Rule. But, you know, I want to come back real quick to this thing with Roger Stone, because to me, this is a freak out moment. You know, on Friday, when you had the Friday Night Massacre, where they fired not only Alexander Vindman, but also his brother, who I didn't know his brother had anything to do with it. That's just kind of one of those things. We're going to ruin your family dinner. But also Gordon Sondland and I guess 70 other people that Trump just decided, you know what, you're all disloyal. You're all gone. That was bad enough. But to then now say, okay, we're gonna overturn what our Justice Department prosecutors are saying, because this is someone that's friendly to me, this is just nuts.
It was like the third act of The Godfather, where the crime boss starts settling all of the, you know, outstanding debts from the family. I mean, it's absolutely a freak out moment. Roger Stone is a criminal, and he's been a criminal for decades.
Right.
And he's been part of the rot in the Republican Party since Nixon. And what we're watching right now is just an overt, craven criminal enterprise. And one of the things that these people do, these criminal enterprises, and particularly authoritarians, they make an example out of breaking the law to break people's spirit. And that's what's happening here. Trump is flaunting the fact that he is above the law, and everybody should be freaking out. The fact that we aren't in the streets tonight, I think, is an absolute shame.
No, but, you know, do you think like I do? Because, you know, I use Wisconsin as kind of my template. And I don't know if you remember Wisconsin in 2011. You had this huge uprising, you know, 100,000 people in the Capitol, and we were there for 9 days, sleeping on the marble floor as Scott Walker was taking rights away from workers there. And you had, you know, just the whole state just being inundated and just bombarded with messaging and bombarded with, you know, with right wing attacks and all this stuff, to where people just got this kind of fatigue that they were just like, I just wanted to stop. And I get this feeling that as a country, we're kind of getting to that point, or at least I fear we're going to get to that point, to where we just want the pain to stop and we recoil from it as opposed to rushing towards it to take it out.
That is play number one in the authoritarian playbook. And you're exactly right. What you're talking about in terms of like that uprising, particularly when it comes for union solidarity or people growing together and coming out and making a show of this. What happens in America is there are times where we forget that we have power and the government is supposed to answer to us. And, you know, the social contract says that they're supposed to serve our will and be there for us instead of the other way around. And these people are all about crushing that spirit and making us think that government is a spectacle that we have nothing to do with until our spirits are crushed and we just leave everything to them. And that is, again, play number one in the playbook. And right now is a very demoralizing time, but they are counting on demoralization and they are counting on people retreating from the public space. And, yeah, and that is the absolute worst thing we can do.
No, because I got a bunch of messages from people after the impeachment sham. On after the Republicans just basically whitewashed the whole thing, that, oh, we lost. And I'm going, but you knew this was going to happen. Don't be demoralized now. You knew this was going to be the outcome. They've shown you their hand. They've shown you who they are. Now you work to get their behinds out. Now you work to throw the bums out.
Yeah, and you know, if you look back on that, and we're not even talking about it now, a week later, but the majority, the vast majority of Americans understood that this was a sham. And that's when the organization needs to happen, as opposed to it being a demoralizing moment. Because the truth is, despite all of this media story, you know, how they treat this like it's, you know, one anxious thing after another, like it's sweeps week or whatever, like we have to understand that this is a thing that we have to stand up for and stand up against. And we have to reject that idea that there are these wins and losses, because there are no wins and losses when it comes to moral crusades. And that's what this is. It is a moral crusade to get rid of this garbage.
I'm right there with you. I'm like I said, I'm hoping that we don't, like you said, don't take it as a moral defeat, that this is an opportunity to organize and exercise the power of we the people. Jared, always great talk with you. I hope people will check out the book, American Rule, How a Nation Conquered the World But Failed Its People. We will get links out on how folks can get a hold of that. As always, Jared, I appreciate the time, man.
Thanks so much, Rick.
Good stuff. Jared Yates Sexton. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. One of my favorite folks there. Let's take a quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.